My sister Janet and her husband Glenn recently spent a month in Ireland. Their trip included the goal of hopefully finding relatives from our distant past. My great-great-great-grandfather, Sam Smart, left Ireland with his family in 1846. You might remember that was during the potato famine. And they left on board a sailing vessel that is commonly called a coffin ship. Passengers were confined in that ship in very cramped, dark, stuffy quarters below deck, and many died before the 8-week voyage was over. When people would leave Ireland on board these ships, it was customary on the night before their departure for the family to hold a living wake, because they stood a 20 to 50% chance of not making it to wherever the ship was bound in North America. It takes a lot of guts to get on board a ship like that. Sharks would often follow these ships because of the number of burials that were occurring at sea. The family of Sam Smart in Ireland that we know of never ever heard from him again. Okay, as far as our knowledge is concerned, they did not know whether they made it, he and his family made it to North America or not. That's a long time ago. So my sister, Janet, and Glenn, they did find our relatives in Ireland. They were grandly welcomed and hosted like long relatives would be. And you know what they found? Edwin Smart. How's about that? There's Edwin Smart in Ireland. Oh, yeah, imagine that, another one. I don't know the world's ready for that, but I guess they have. The family in Ireland, meanwhile, had been researching the family tree, and it was all complete except for one name, Sam Smart, because nothing was known of him from 1846 on, and they were able to fill in the gaps. Now they know the rest of the story, that he actually did survive, and the family survived the journey. And they know now that they have many, many relatives in Canada that before that they never knew of. Another branch of the family tree, much larger than they knew. And now we're beginning to discover our relatives that we didn't know of before either. From the dawn of time, whether you're talking about plants, animals, or people, God has put within creation the power to be fruitful and multiply. In the very first chapter of the Bible, we read, beginning in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. There is a great joy in every harvest. That's the soybean field beside our lane right as of last night. Growing like all get out. 3 weeks ago, before the rain started, it was like that high, right about there. Look at it now. It's up my knee, okay? And every gardener and every farmer plants in anticipation of an abundant harvest. By the way, if you're still praying for rain around here, your prayers have been answered. You don't have to be too exercised in that. Soybeans grow by heat units, so be thankful for a day like this. But I want to say this. Harvest does something in your soul. The harvest does something in your soul that takes us right back to creation. It's a link. There is a great joy in the birth of children and grandchildren. And you might want to congratulate Connie today. This is her grandson Henry's first visit to this church. Isn't that right? First visit. So, and that's neat to have Henry here and Connie's daughter Nancy. There's a great joy in the birth of children and grandchildren. Although you wonder about some people and their kids when they write, you know, I childproofed my house. Somehow they still get in. When you're holding a little baby, you're holding eternity in your hands, folks. When you touch a life at any age, you're putting your fingerprint on eternity. You are hearing something about that this morning. So be careful how you hold. Be careful how you touch, right? It's for eternity. There's great joy in the birth of children and grandchildren, and there is exceedingly great joy in heaven and earth when one is born into the kingdom of God and becomes a child of God. Is it any wonder that Jesus would say to his disciples, read it with me, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Ah, there's a spiritual connection to fruitfulness. The power to live abundantly that we've been talking about the last number of weeks begins when we allow the Lord to live his life in us. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And the key that opens the door to that, as the message we looked at last week, is when we bow before Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is the absolute Lord of our lives every day with every decision that we make. Amen? That's the key that unlocks the door to abundant living. And then, as part of that, God gives us the power, because of his resurrected life alive in us, to bear abundant fruit spiritually. Jesus links his death and resurrection to our being able to have the abundant life that he desires for us. I want to remind you that it was on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, immediately following the Last Supper, where Jesus had taken the bread and the cup. He took the bread and he gave thanks, and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And now the Last Supper is over, and they are making their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's walking with his disciples. He knew what was approaching. He had so much to tell them yet. Let me just give you some of the highlights. He said things like, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He said, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." These things and other things Jesus shared with his disciples as they're coming to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was here in the garden then that Jesus, in John chapter 15, gave this beautiful instructive metaphor of the Christian life. He the vine, we the branches, his life in us. God the gardener taking care of the branches, pruning away the things that are harmful and that keep the branch from being healthy. And God the gardener providing the nurture that was necessary for an abundant harvest. What's the reason for a branch on a vine? Jesus uses metaphors for reasons. What's the reason for the branch? What's the purpose of the branch? To bear fruit. We touched on this in an earlier message in this series, and what I want to do today is look at the kind of fruit, because we didn't look at that. How does a branch bear fruit? It stays connected to the vine. It allows the vine to nourish it. It yields to the gardener so that he can do his work. Let's read from John 15 and verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You did not choose me. Did I miss putting this one in? Okay, missed that one. That's okay. It was late at night. John 15, 16. Here's what you would have read. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. The abundant life. The life that is full and overflowing, kind of a life that Jesus talks about in the New Testament and produces in the lives of his disciples, includes a fruitful life spiritually, a purposeful life. Well, what fruit? We could develop a fairly extensive list, but I want to narrow it to three main ones. First of all, there's the fruit of the Spirit. We have looked at this before in another message. But let's just read this verse together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. Do you have all those? Yeah. These are characteristics, by the way, that are expected to be seen in the life of the one who follows Jesus. Who produces the fruit? The Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's what he produces in us. What does the branch do? It receives by yielding. It receives from the vine. It submits to the work of the true gardener. And that is our work, to ask God to be producing these characteristics in us as we yield to him. The second fruit is the fruit of righteousness. In Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 9. Let's read together. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of right living. The fruit of his life in us. And that is twofold. First of all, it's being right with God. It's being right with God. It's knowing his forgiveness and cleansing in our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It's a verse that we all should have underlined in our Bible if it's not permanently embedded in our memory. Let's recite it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then the second part is living by his enabling power, not our own efforts. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's read it together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know a tree by the fruit that it bears. What does an apple tree bear? Apples. Is an apple tree going to grow oranges? Nope. And the Bible is very clear that the world knows whether we're Christians by the fruit that we bear. I was, a number of years ago, I was visiting in the Newmarket Hospital as a visiting clergy. And as a visiting clergy from out of town, I can go to the security office and get my parking validated, and it's paid for, as it should be, right? I feel sorry for those who have to pay for parking. I do, because it's expensive. Wednesday evening, on a Wednesday evening, I stepped into the security office to do just that. And I identified myself as a visiting clergy, knowing that he would ask me for my business card. The officer smiled without asking for my business card. He simply said, "Yes, I know you are. No problem. Hand me your ticket." And he validated the ticket. Now he says, "Can I tell you a story?" I said, "Sure you can." He said, "There was a man who came here one day who told me he was a visiting clergy. He was even wearing a clerical collar. But you know, he didn't seem like one." How's about that? He didn't seem like one. So I questioned him and asked him for his business card. And you know what? He swore at me. And he ordered me to validate his ticket. I called the police and he was charged with fraud. How's that? I love that story. See, it didn't matter what he was wearing for clothes. The evidence of his real nature showed through, right? It's a good lesson for us as Christians. Let's make sure Jesus is the one who's showing through in all that we do. The fruit of righteousness. Then the third fruit that I will bring to you this morning is the fruit of good works. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared. He's already prepared the fruit that he wants born in your life and mine. Paul begins a prayer with these words in Colossians 1. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." I'm going to ask you to read verse 10 with me, the very next verse. "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." Amen. Amen. God doesn't just save you so you can get to eternity. God saves you and gives you a purpose and an identity as his child here on this earth. And he allows you the awesome privilege of bearing abundant fruit. The promise of the Lord to us is that as we walk with him and allow him to live his life in us, that we will bear fruit. And that's what abundant living is all about. This is just a small scratch on the surface. It really takes a Bible study group to cover the ground more thoroughly than that. But you say, "Well, okay, what's the how?" I'm just going to give you three foundational spiritual practices that need to be a part of every believer's life. The first is prayer. Be a praying person, okay? Be a person who can step in and out of prayer wherever you are. Whether you're driving your car, somebody cuts you off, you go, "Oh, thank you, Lord." Right? Or maybe you cut somebody off and they're mad at you. And you say, "Oh, Lord, help me to respond right." And you give them a thumbs up. You know? Better the thumb. Be a praying person. Pray about everything. Thank the Lord for everything. Bible study and devotions. You know, we need more than sermon times. What's your Bible study plan? What do you read through the week? In your Bible and other books as well. And I'm so grateful for the Bible study opportunities that are here when we're in season, right? Everything's kind of shut down for the summer right now. But there's the ladies' Bible study on Tuesday morning. There's an evening Bible study that happens that's awesome as well. And some studies are just happening independently in your homes that hardly anybody knows about, but they're just little groups that gather together and study the Bible together. Isn't that awesome? Did you go to sleep on me? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Okay. It is. Our job, folks, in our hearts is to till the soil of our hearts and provide fertile ground for the seed of the Word of God. It is God that causes that seed to take root and to bear the fruit of His design and good purpose. And then the third thing, the third discipline that needs to be a part of every believer's life is worship. Worship. God speaks in ways in worship that is different than any other time. We hear from Him in a way that's unique to the worship event. We live in a day where that's not fully appreciated. And so many other things tend to crowd in or take over priority. And it's too easy to let that happen. And I encourage you, where possible, because sometimes it's just not possible. It's, for instance, case in my own family. It's really, really difficult for my mom and dad. So they're part of our worship experience every Sunday. By the way, would you do me a favor? Would you say, hi, Mom?
Hi, Mom.
See? Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
There you go. And they're part of us every Sunday, and I count that a high privilege. But here's what I want to share with you this morning. Keep your walk with the Lord fresh and vital. Keep His presence in your life every day the priority. God has called us to be the people of God in this place and for this time so that He can produce, abundantly produce, His good fruit in us and through us, and so that we might have and enjoy abundant life to the full until it overflows. Amen? Amen. We pray your Holy Spirit to fall upon us, fill us full of yourself, and help us to live every day as your child, that we may enjoy the abundant life that you have promised to each and every one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.